hope that is a familiar theme song to you, because it indicates it's time for Let's Talk About Jesus with Pastor Evangelist Robert Venable. We pray that you will stay tuned to this broadcast today. In the midst of all the bad news that we have in our world and many times in our personal life circumstance, we have great, wonderful, powerful, passionate good news today from the Word of God. Amen. No wonder this Bible and its content, amen, in the New Testament is called the Gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, there's a tribe down in Africa that had been taught Christ and Him crucified from the Bible, and they called the whole book, after they understood what the theme of the Old and New Covenant is really all about, and they called the Bible the Jesus Book. And the reasoning for that is, they say, open it just about anywhere and you will find Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. I am so grateful today to have found what this book is all about. And it's all about a Redeemer that would come and take our place on the cross and bleed and die that we might have eternal life. Oh, friend of mine, it doesn't even have to be the Christmas season for the spirit of Christmas to rest in your heart today. Hot as it is here in Florida in August and now September, I want you to know that we are in the Christmas spirit. Hallelujah. Amen. All summer long. Because the angel said, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you this day in the city of David is born a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. That's the good news. God, who has sent a Savior to those who could never save themselves. And the way He saves us proves how much God loves you and loves me, friend, because He comes to pay a ransom price for us. Well, we're going to get in the message, the gifts of grace, in just a moment. But just before we do, we would invite you to come to our website if you would like to download any of the recent Let's Talk About Jesus broadcast, or listen to any of the sermons that have been saved and placed upon our website for you to download if you would so desire. That's actually span the years, that go back down through the years. I've been pastor here of the Holy Church of God, an affiliate with the Independent Assemblies of God International, for going on our 37th year. Be 37 years in January. And there's a lot of sermons there on a lot of topics, but they're all appropriate for the time that we are living, because they're coming from the most the most important book that you can read to understand the times that we're living and God's plan for the future of this planet and His people is right here in God's book, the Bible. Praise God. Amen. So if you would like to come there and download, it's very user-friendly now, and we're grateful for you that are already coming and downloading. Invite any of you. Just type in THCOG on your computer, on Google. It'll take you to our website, and you're welcome to come. That THCOG stands for the Holy Church of God, Incorporated, right here in Tampa, Florida. Now, with no further ado, if you have your Bibles under this great subject of God's redemptive love, the gifts of grace, I want to read a verse of Scripture in St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 20 and verse 28. And I want you to listen carefully for a single word in this Scripture concerning Christ's mission to this earth and the purpose for which He came, that would be fulfilled and consummated upon the cross. Jesus said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister, and to give His life a ransom for many. The word I want you to pick up today is the word ransom. Because this word and this act of God's love and grace through His Son and our Savior Jesus Christ upon the cross, this act of love of redemptive love by offering Himself to pay the ransom for our sin, to pay our sin debt so we could be set free, not only from the slavery of sin that Satan held us in bondage to, but the judgment for that sin that God holds us accountable for. Oh, what deliverance has come because that ransom price was paid. I believe I said this last week. Want to reiterate it this week. Those great redemptive words that are applied to our life the moment we receive Christ as our Savior, justification, forensic term, just as if we had never sinned. Reconciliation. Amen. God, who is angry with us because of our sin, but loves us in spite of our sin, has sent His Son to redeem us that we might be reconciled. God took the peace initiative, and He, praise the Lord, sent His Son because of His great love for you and for me, that He might receive us and not reject us. He's too holy to look over our sin. Sin had to be judged. He sent His sinless Son to shed sinless blood so that He could accept the sacrifice in our behalf, so the ransom could be paid. Hallelujah. So that He could receive us. Honey, He wants you in His heaven. He doesn't want you to be lost and banished and punished eternally. He wants you saved and secured. Praise God. He loves you. That's His attitude towards you. All He had to do is not send Jesus into this fallen world to go to the cross and pay our sin debt if He didn't want to forgive us today. So if you think you've done something so terribly wrong that God would not or could not forgive you, you are terribly in error today. And there's an enemy of your soul that wants to keep you from coming to this wonderful Savior today. And you can defeat him by just opening your heart and life to Jesus Christ. Before this broadcast is over, all of that bondage can be severed. Praise God. And you can be set free this very day. This word ransom is the root and basis of the word redemption that is used throughout the Scriptures. Amen. And it is such a powerful, powerful word. If we could cut through the other issues of the Christian faith and go straight to the core of what it means to be Christian, we would find ourselves standing squarely in front of a cross. It's not a pretty sight. A man hangs on that cross in the throes of death. He's in agony. He gasps for breath. Sweat coats his body. Blood trickles down his hands and feet and drips to the ground beneath the cross. People mock and they laugh and some curse as he dies. A tormented, suffering death. A soldier picks up a spear and thrusts it under the rib cage at the man's heart. And water and blood flow mingled down to the ground. Then it's over. The gruesome business is done. The crucifixion is complete. But something happened on that cross that even those who stood there did not see or understand. The Bible said that a sacrifice was offered. A price was paid and a judgment was canceled. Christ died for our sins. This sacrificial language, this giving himself as a ransom, is a strange language to us. But it was common language in the first century. Temples dotted the Roman Empire and sacrifices were common sights all over the Mediterranean world. The temple still stood in Jerusalem, and the Jews came there to offer sacrifices to God. If they were wealthy, they brought a lamb without blemish. If they were poor, as the parents of Jesus were, they brought a turtle dove. The priests killed the animal, drained the blood at the foot of the altar, and burnt either all of the animal or part of the animal on the altar. The act of burning the animal transferred it from the possession of the worshiper to the possession of God. In other words, the burning of that sacrifice, that smoke went upward, symbolic of God being pleased with the sin offering and accepting it as an atonement. Jesus is called our sacrifice for sin. He is called, literally, our substitute lamb. John the Baptist identified Jesus with the words, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world," in John 1 and verse 29. His choice of words was deliberate because he saw him by revelation before the cross. He saw him as a sacrifice lamb, one who would pay the ransom price for the sins of fallen man. God gave Israel a sacrificial system around which their religious activities all revolved. It was the centerpiece of their whole religious system, the offering of an animal. Sacrificed by the priest was inseparably linked to the sins of the people. Yet these sacrifices, which lasted for 1,500 years, were ineffective in securing a permanent pardon for sins committed. The high priest had to go once a year to offer a sacrifice for the sins of the covenant people. And if he failed in that mission, judgment would have fell upon the whole nation of Israel. And then all throughout the year, when people sinned, they had to bring that lamb or that turtle dove to be offered. And the sacrifices served two great purposes in the Old Covenant. They showed how serious sin is, in that sin required the sacrificial death of an innocent victim. And number two, the sacrificial system pointed to a time when God would provide His own Son to be the final and effective sacrifice for sin. Ephesians 5 and verse 2 reads this way, and you can see the sacrifice being offered in the person of Jesus Christ, and you can see the smoke rising to God, the savor rising to God. Listen to this. It says, "And walk in love as Christ also has loved us, and hath given Himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor." Praise God. This is the glorious truth that should cause great rejoicing and gratitude. Jesus gave Himself for you. And Jesus gave Himself for me. So this Hebrew word in the Old Testament for redeem or ransom, last week we talked about, was P-A-D-A-H, pronounced P-A-W-D-A-W, podo. And it was used commercially to indicate a transfer of ownership. The transfer came through the payment or some equivalent action. Now we're going to the next Hebrew word that was used. Amen. And it is the word G-A-A-L, pronounced Gaal. And it means to redeem by the Oriental law of kinship. I want you to know redemption and what God did for you is not some just legal circumstance that sets you free from culpability and accountability. There is a forensic aspect to this in that we have been justified, acquitted as if we had never sinned, but it's more than just a legal transaction with God in order to save us. It is a personal expression of His great love for us. The gospel, friend, is a love story. And that's why this Hebrew word begins to capture and encapsulate not just the fact that a ransom was paid, but a ransom was paid by someone who loved us with the ultimate love. Because actually, Jesus gave Himself as the ransom. You know, the Scripture is very clear that we were not redeemed in the New Covenant by corruptible things as silver and gold, but with the precious blood of a lamb, without spot and without blemish. Amen. It is so precious to me and should be to you if you're a Christian today that Jesus shed His blood for you. He gave Himself as the ransom price. He said, "Take me, punish me, kill me, but let the person who deserves that punishment go free." He did it in a personal love for us. And God's personal love for us is expressed in His death. This word begins to grab a hold of that because it means to redeem by the Oriental law of kinship. this Greek word, or this Hebrew word rather, places the emphasis on the relationship between the Redeemer and the redeemed. Hallelujah. This word is found many places. One of the places is in Psalm 19:14. This word for redemption or redeemer. And it calls God literally our rock and our redeemer. And when this word redeemer was used, it's used for kinsman redeemer. I want to read again from Exodus 6 and verse 6, where this word, this Hebrew word for redeem is used. And it says, "Wherefore say unto the children of Israel, I am the Lord, I will bring you out from under the burdens of the Egyptians, and I will rid you out of their bondage, and I will redeem you with a stretched out arm and with great judgment." That's this word, to redeem by the Oriental law of kinship. Redemption from Egypt was not only an act of purchase, but also an act of a kinsman moved by love. Christ Jesus, friend of mine, is our kinsman redeemer. Someone has said that the Son of God became the Son of Man that He might make the sons of men the sons of God. The book of Ruth is the book in the Old Covenant, the Old Testament, that is the beautiful portrait of a kinsman redeemer. Boaz married Ruth and thus became her kinsman redeemer. And listen to this very carefully. Deuteronomy 25 and verse 5 and 6 tells us the law of the kinsman. It says, "If brethren dwell together, one of them die, two brothers, and one of them die, and have no child, the wife of the dead shall not marry without unto a stranger. Her husband's brother shall go into her, take her to him to wife, and perform the duty of an husband's brother unto her. And it shall be that the firstborn which she beareth shall succeed in the name of his brother, which is dead, that his name be not put out of Israel." Praise God. The son of this marriage concerning Ruth and Boaz was the father of Jesse, who became the father of David. Amen. This marriage of Obed, the father of Jesse, the father of David. Redemption reveals a helpless humanity, friend. And redemption affirms a God whose love causes him to take the part of the near kinsman. Jesus is not just paying a legal price to get us set free, but he's paying a love price because he gave himself to purchase our redemption. Praise the Lord. Amen. I still love the old camp meeting song, I bought a debt I couldn't pay. It was growing every day, but Jesus paid it all for me. I want to read you a scripture about that. There's just so many, but Colossians 1 and verse 14 says, "In whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sin." Again, the Greek words for redemption and ransom are really close to these Old Covenant words because it's from the same root, all of them, luo, L-U-O, which means to loosen. In this group of words was used in the Greek to speak of freeing prisoners, opening closed or prison doors, breaking fetters, and to buy back or to redeem. At the cross where Jesus shed his blood is a symbol of our freedom from sin's power and penalty. Praise God. The cross becomes a symbol of the love of God for a sinful people. The cross is a symbol of our future destiny. We are assured of salvation. The cross is therefore a cause of great rejoicing. Galatians 6 and verse 14 says, "But God forbid that I should glory save in the cross of our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom the world is crucified to me, and I am crucified unto the world." As the New International interprets the Greek, we boast in the cross. Praise God. Amen. We're redeemed by love divine. Glory, glory, Christ is mine. Oh, this is a love story. Make no mistake about it. This is not just legal as it had to be, but this is love. Who am I that a king, the King of glory, the King of the universe, the very God of gods, would take on flesh, go and suffer and die on that old rugged cross. Who am I that a king would bleed and die for? There's a third word here in the Hebrew to help us understand the New Testament words for redemption. And it's the word K-O-P-E-R. And it's translated simply ransom. And it's from the Hebrew word K-A-P-E-R, which means to make an atonement, to pay a ransom price, therefore, by making an atonement. This word has to do with the price of our redemption. Isaiah 43:3 declares, "For I am the Lord thy God, the Holy One of Israel, thy Savior. I gave Egypt for thy ransom," this word, koper, ransom, "and Ethiopia and Seba for thee. Christ is given for our ransom in the New Testament. The deaf have a sign for Jesus. You know what it is? It's the middle finger of each hand is placed in the palm of the other, representing Jesus, the one with the nail-pierced hands. Praise God. Oh, what redemptive love is extended to you today. I'm going to read what I quoted before from 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. It says, "For as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from the vain conversation received by the tradition of your fathers, but with the precious blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb without spot and without blemish." This word redeemed here is litron in the Greek, and it means clearly, plainly, to ransom. It's used only three times in the New Testament. The Greek verb exgorezo is used four times, and it means to purchase. This is an intensive word that could be used to portray the redemption of a slave. And not just paying the price, but giving oneself that another might go free. The Old Testament, or the Gospel in the Old Testament, that great Hebrews chapter 53, which is called the Gospel in the Old Testament, says he was wounded for our transgressions. Isaiah 53, it said he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised, in verse 5, for our iniquity. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and with his stripes we were healed. Verse 6 is so powerful and promising. It said, "All we, like sheep, have gone astray, but God hath laid on him the iniquity of us all." Friend of mine, we've all sinned. The New Testament counterpart says we've all sinned. Every one of us. And we've come short of the glory of God. We've missed the mark. In fact, we've missed the target altogether. And some of us out there think, "I know somebody that is unsaved. They're not a Christian, but they're so wonderful." And listen, the Bible said there is none righteous. No, not one. Why is that reiterated? Because somehow we think we can come to a place of such sinless perfection that we can make ourselves or be by virtue of our own character acceptable unto God. But we cannot, and we are not. Without the shedding of blood, without the paying of this ransom, there is no sacrifice for sin. But the good news is, the bad news is, no one is good enough to go to heaven. The good news is, you don't have to be good enough when you're washed in the blood of Jesus. Amen. You're not going to heaven, friend, because you're sinlessly perfect. You're going to heaven because your sins have been forgiven, because Jesus took your punishment. The Bible said, if we say we have no sin, we lie and do not the truth. But if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins and to cleanse us from all iniquity and unrighteousness. Today, you can have eternal life if you don't know Christ as your Savior. Because whether you accept Him or not, whether you're lost or saved, banished or received into heaven's bliss forever, punished eternally, are blessed eternally. Eternal life or eternal damnation. Listen, whether you accept His ransom paid gift or not, today the gift has been offered you. The price for your redemption has been paid. And the devil that holds you in bondage, the blood of Jesus makes a claim on you that there's no prison house strong enough for him to hold any soul that wants to be free today. If you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Savior, and you think I'm not good enough and could never be good enough, I'm going to agree with you today. You're absolutely right. You're not good enough, and neither am I. And I never could be good enough to merit the place that God has prepared for me to live forever. I am not worthy. I'll say it plainly, forthright, and up front. Friend, I am not worthy of the blood of Jesus Christ. But I will confess with bold confidence, because I know what that blood accomplished. I know what Jesus did for me on that cross, and I plead the merits of the blood of Jesus, for those merits I could never attain to offer to God. Amen. And my Bible says it came up His death. The smoke came up from that sacrifice. Praise God. Amen. It came into God as a sweet-smelling savor. It pleased the Lord to bruise Him. Not that it didn't tear out God's heart to see and hear His Son's suffering cries on that cross. But it pleased Him that through this supreme act of love and obedience for fallen man, that He could save you and save me today. Praise God, the blood of Jesus makes a claim on you. And if you want to walk out of that prison house, all of heaven's resources will stand with you. And I'm telling you, what looks like bars of brass and steel and iron will melt away. And you can walk out of the prison house of sin's bondage today and receive God's forgiveness and God's great liberty. Hallelujah. I tell you, what God is offering you today is beyond price, beyond any sin that the devil says, you'll have to give up that, honey. You get this, you won't need that anymore. I guarantee you, if you receive this great salvation, that drives you to sin will be broken over you. And you will find in Jesus what you'll never find in sin, that you'll never find in anything this world can offer you. Oh, the blood of Jesus that washes away all of our sin today. Well, friend, I'm inviting you to bow your head right where you are to invite Jesus Christ into your heart and into your life today, to be your Lord and your personal Savior. To not let that ransom price be paid in vain for you. Why don't you do it right where you are? Why don't you do it right now? Say it with me. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. I repent. I've sinned against you, God, and I'm so sorry. But right now I receive your Son who gave Himself a ransom for my sin. And I receive all the blessing and all the benefits of His shed blood and His broken body. Save me. Seal me. Take me. I'm yours. Right now, Satan is no longer your master. God is. Christ is the Lord of your life. Hallelujah. He'll seal you with His Holy Spirit. Hallelujah. He will brand you as His own. He'll remember you when He comes. Praise God. We love you today. If you're a Christian today, stand tall in your standing. If you boast, you have something you can boast in and still be sanctified. Paul said, I'm going to boast in the cross of Jesus Christ. Amen. That's where this separates me from this world and separates this world from me. Well, we love you. Why don't you come back next week and let's talk about Jesus. Hope and peace, Lord, nothing but the blood of Jesus. This is all my righteousness. Say, Lord, nothing but the blood of Jesus. Have you been?